on, what is it? Tuesday, June 4th, also the birthday of Paquito de Rivera, as I just mentioned, the Biden administration announced new restrictions on the number of immigrants who can seek asylum in the United States, capping this to 2,500 immigrants. Welcome to Jazz Therapy, where we explore the intersectionality of jazz, the psyche and psychoanalytic thought, spirituality, and consciousness. We have in-depth conversations with people from various walks of life, all of whom view their work as a service to humanity. Then we listen to jazz and discuss our thoughts, feelings, and reflections, which arise from hearing this incredible art form. I'm your host, Jesse Shapiro. This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you or someone you know is feeling suicidal or in an emotional crisis, you can call or text the SAMHSA Crisis Line, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Association, through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Simply call or dial 988 24/7, 365 days a year. The pursuit of otherness. The sense that we are somehow different than our brothers and sisters, no matter where we find them, allows for all the other great evils, racism, sexism, homophobia, violence against gay people and against women. Anna Quindlen. To love is to recognize yourself in another, the other's, quote, otherness, end quote, then stands revealed as an illusion pertaining to the purely human realm, the realm of form. Eckhart Tolle. And sometimes it's the very otherness of a stranger, someone who doesn't belong to our ethnic or ideological or religious group, an otherness that can repel us initially, but which can jerk us out of our habitual selfishness and give us intonations of that sacred otherness, which is God. Karen Armstrong. Those are some beautiful quotes on otherness and othering. In today's episode, welcome everyone, by the way. Today's episode is entitled The Beauty of Immigrants, Othering Others, and Paquito de Rivera. And so today I wanted to talk about the beauty of immigrants from all around the world, and especially what is happening politically in the United States with the Biden administration's recent restriction on immigrants seeking asylum. And I wanted us to really explore the concept of othering and how we other people. I care deeply about immigrants, especially the Spanish-speaking community, as I speak Spanish and worked and served the Spanish-speaking community for a number of years as a psychotherapist. And so this was very much on my heart, and I wanted to just talk about this and also politically what happens in this country in terms of how immigrants are being othered and how I also wanted to reflect deeply on how I can other people make somebody who is a different political party than I am. I can start to think negatively about these folks. Even saying that is kind of othering, like they or them, because they're not me and my beliefs are right or enlightened or whatever, and they're totally not. I can also other even loved ones in my own family. So there's so many different levels of othering that happen in the culture personally. So I wanted to talk about that and help us reflect on that. This will be good for me. And then we're going to do a meditation where we send loving energy to everyone who is a migrant right now in the process of trying to come to the border or detained at the border, and everyone who is an immigrant here in the United States, legally or illegally. And finally, we will listen to the music of Paquito de Rivera, who has a birthday this week on June 4th, actually this last week on June 4th. And he himself is an immigrant. He's Cuban American. And so I just wanted to tie this all together. So that's a little outline of what we're going to be doing today. And I'm so glad you guys are here with me. On, what is it? Tuesday, June 4th, also the birthday of Paquito de Rivera, as I just mentioned, the incredible Cuban-American jazz percussionist and all-around Renaissance man. The Biden administration announced new restrictions on the number of immigrants who can seek asylum in the United States, capping this to 2,500 immigrants. And according to the AP Newswire, quote, President Joe Biden unveiled plans to enact immediate significant restrictions on migrants seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border as the White House tries to neutralize immigration as a political liability ahead of the November elections. The long-anticipated presidential proclamation would bar migrants from being granted asylum when U.S. officials deem that the southern border is overwhelmed. You guys can definitely read more about sort of the nuances of this policy. And this just came out this week, although it was something that was evidently long expected. Now, CNN had kind of a very polemic headline covering this article entitled, Biden Pulls from Trump's Playbook in Election Year Twist. And this is a very provocative headline. So first of all, let me just talk about how I feel. Very sad to hear this because migrants come from all over the world, leaving violence in their home countries, leaving poverty and seeking better economic opportunities for themselves and their children. They come for a fresh start for so many reasons. And it is just I feel very sad and disappointed that this restriction has come up again. I do understand, however, that President Biden is doing this because he is trying to appeal to voters who potentially would vote for Biden's opponent, and he needs to peel off any voters who could vote for his opponent. And so, you know, this isn't a political podcast. I'm not going to go too much into the weeds on this. However, the situation is really dire in this country in terms of the fate of our nation and what is hanging in the balance with this election in November. This is pretty much spiritual civil war in terms of the deep divisions in this country between Democrats and Republicans. And this is very, very dire. And so, of course, I support President Biden and I will vote for him. And he is really fighting for our country. So I understand where this is coming from. And at the same time, I also feel deeply saddened about it because all of the migrants and immigrants are not, they're not just bodies, everybody. They're like, they're people that have dreams to have a better life, that have dreams for their children. They're just like you and I might say I am them and they are me. I know I always cry on this podcast. And I would say, everyone, I'm sensitive. However, I'm not fragile. And you know, this spiritual mystic and writer and scholar, Andrew Harvey, he talks about how whatever cause wakes you up in the middle of the night and breaks your heart, that is the cause that you want to support or put your energy into in terms of really helping and supporting. And for me, the rights of immigrants and supporting immigrants and supporting immigrants who are here in the country illegally, like all the DACA kids, I just care so deeply about this population, and I want everyone to have access to be able to be here and have a better life. So this is basically why this issue was on my heart this week. And so as you're just, you know, hearing this and you perhaps done some reading yourself, I'm curious just what this brings up for you. How do you feel? I guess what I'm kind of saying is I understand. I feel really sad, and I understand also where this is coming from because the political situation in this country is so dire. And yet it's a lot to hold. So this is kind of the state of things. And I would rather have President Biden in for 4 more years than the demise of our democracy. So we need to rally together and still continue to find ways to support migrants and immigrants. Because really every person here, from descendants of slaves to myself and anyone else, unless you're an Indigenous person, a person who identifies as Indigenous, comes from immigrants or is a migrant or an immigrant. So really, we're all one. And so I also wanted to just tie in as we're thinking about this. So this is kind of the issue that's on my heart, and we will do a meditation about this. The concept of othering, where we make others bad or different from us. And there's a lot of othering that happens from the Republican Party, who really have a lot of rhetoric right now in the culture and the political arena about demonizing immigrants. And this is very painful to see. That being said, I'm also not going to other Republicans or people who have different political views than myself, because, I mean, actually I do this sometimes in my mind, but it's something I don't want to do because it just further perpetuates the pain that I feel internally, the pain of this whole situation, and it further creates distance. So I want to own that this is one way that I can other people. As if somebody has a different view than myself, I can just think, oh, they don't understand, they don't get it. And anytime the word they is present, unless you're using it as an adjective or as someone's chosen gender pronoun, that's kind of a clue that I'm already off track. I'm going to talk more about how this comes up for me personally later. I'm first going to talk about the concept of othering. And I wanted to start off with Carl Jung, who was a brilliant Swiss psychiatrist, and his idea of the shadow. Jung talks about how we all have a mask or persona that we wear, which is the way we represent ourselves and the way we want ourselves to be seen by others. And this could be the role we play, such as I am a teacher, I am a doctor, I am a mother, I am a outstanding citizen. I am a church member. I go to my synagogue. I am a Jew. I'm a Muslim. Whatever identity or persona, that can be part of it as well. How we want ourselves to be seen by others. Over time, we come to believe that this is the real us, while the unwanted character traits and parts of us get stuffed underground and form what is called the shadow self. And so I'm giving kind of a very cursory definition of this. However, the point here that Jung is really making is that anytime we find something distasteful or we're judgmental or critical of something, an attribute in another person, it is likely a part of our own self that we are not in touch with and that we have disowned. So we see this in the political arena with all of the negative and really terrible rhetoric that is about adjectives that are assigned to immigrants. I'm going to read a quote here from Jung. Quote, "We still attribute to the other fellow all the evil and inferior qualities that we do not like to recognize in ourselves, and therefore have to criticize and attack him, when all that has happened is that an inferior, quote, soul, end quote, has emigrated from one person to another. The world is still full of scapegoats, just as it formerly teemed with witches and werewolves." Jung, Civilization in Transition. Okay, so that is a very powerful quote. So he's talking about how in ancient times, witches and werewolves carried the projection of being deviant, bad, demonic, dark, all of the things that were projected onto them. And we continue to project these unwanted parts of ourselves when we other individuals. If you'd like to know more, you can visit my website at www.jazztherapy.com. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the states of California and New York. You can also check out my profile page on Psychology Today, which I'll leave linked below. And so another way to look at this concept is by the concept of othering people when we make them different than us because of race, sexual orientation, nationality, socioeconomic status, religion, political identity, etc. When we other people, we make them different than us in a negative way. We are superior and they are the one with problems. This causes us pain and causes them pain. and creates more distance. And here's another quote from Jung. He's talking about how it is important to see both sides. Become aware not only of our moral inferiorities, but also automatically of good qualities. We rightly say, I can't be as bad as all that. To confront a person with his shadow is to show him his own light. So this is also a profound quote because it takes a lot of courage to confront our shadow parts, the parts of ourselves that are disowned. However, the true nature of the soul is light. So the more we can clear out any of the shadow self, the projections, the parts of ourselves that are, you know, repressed in the unconscious that come out in ways of othering, the more capacity we have to fully step into the light that we truly are. And that was a quote from Jung in Civilization in Transition. So one way to get in touch with this shadow side, there are many ways, is to just pay attention to what we judge in others and then be curious about what part potentially this could be from ourselves. So when we other people, perhaps it's our own ignorance that we are confronted with, and this is painful to see. And, you know, we all have blind spots. And one of my favorite teachers from the West, Ram Dass, who I've talked about, he said something on along the lines of, you don't have to like everyone, nor even enjoy their company, but don't put them out of your heart. So this is very profound as well. And this really resonates with me because this reminds me not to hate and try to recognize an element of myself in those whom I other. For example, as I was talking about othering people with different political beliefs than myself, I can catch myself thinking that at times. And it really doesn't feel good to have these thoughts. Another spiritual teacher I heard talk about this is Reverend Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker. Her lectures are on YouTube. And she said something in one of her lectures about how she's really been helped by seeing something of herself, by finding herself in anybody that she starts to other or have strong feelings about, like locating her own self in their humanity. And this really helps soften and helps us be more empathetic. So there are many ways just to be totally open with everyone about how I can other people. I can catch myself doing this in my mind. And I feel like it's easier for me to be more compassionate with myself when I do it to, for example, folks who have different political views than I do. I think where I really struggle with othering is when I do this to even my nearest and dearest, such as my own family members. Sometimes I can catch myself thinking like, oh, they won't understand me, or they don't get it, or, and then I sometimes can act out on those feelings by withdrawing. Sometimes I can be haughty and arrogant. I can act self-righteous. And I'm not proud of these qualities. However, it feels good to at least acknowledge that I see these traits in myself, because then it helps me to be more aware of when I am doing this. And I really do like the aforementioned suggestion from Terry Cole Whitaker about, for me personally, when I see someone that I start to other, finding a part of myself in them. And also sometimes what I will do is I will pray for guidance. I will just kind of pray for compassion and to forgive myself for having a thought like this, and then try to let it go and move on. And this is where I would love to just hear from anyone listening about their experience of othering, how you might other people, and how you work with yourself when this comes up. Because that's really the most important thing, that not that we shame ourselves or try to be perfect, but just that we can continue to work with these intense feelings when they arise. I was reading an anecdote from Ram Dass, and I don't think I can read it because of copyright laws on this podcast. However, I'll just kind of give a synopsis of what I read. So Ram Dass was talking about how he was at some kind of a conference, and there was a man there that he met who was, quote, very important and powerful. And this man greeted Ram Dass in a way that immediately connoted and communicated that this man was superior and Ram Dass was inferior. And Ram Dass talked about seeing how he got hooked by this. Like he started to observe within himself his insecurities, thoughts of inferiorities, like basically the vulnerable and tender spot in him was activated by the man's projections of who Ram Dass was. And so very courageously and with candor, Ram Dass goes on to talk about how he, throughout the course of being around this man for a weekend, could observe in himself these thoughts of insecurity. And then he could even see himself doing things like trying to talk to other people who were, quote, important and wondering if the man would see, and then having a bunch of judgments about himself, you know, that he was doing these things. And he continued to just observe and love himself and hold himself through this process. And then he said, finally, there was a moment when everything just dropped away. Like he could totally see the projections of the other man. He kind of got unhooked from that place inside of him where he was saying, oh, I'm not good enough and this man is better than me. It just kind of fell away. And he said at the end, and this really resonated with me and helped me, something like, I realized I didn't have to enjoy this man's company. However, I could see that he was a soul and he was a good soul. And this harkens back to basically a spiritual truth that is in pretty much all of the world's great religions. Love thy enemy as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That is really what we're here to do. And I also just love how open and honest when I hear an example like this from Ram Dass or any other teacher, because I start to feel that I'm not so alone in my struggles with, you know, all of the thoughts that can come into my mind, all of the things my ego can do. And so I hope that you feel that as well. And in my therapy practice, I always tell people, there's nothing that's inside of you or me, even the darkest material inside of us, that is not also in any other human being. And that just helps me have compassion for myself and for humanity, and gives me just the will and the drive to continue on in this path of spiritual awakening. All right. So let us now move on to segment number 2 of this podcast. And this is going to be a meditation. In the last couple podcasts, I've done this at the very end. And I thought, I think it kind of feels germane to do right after I'm talking about this topic. And today we're just celebrating the beauty of immigrants. And I really wanted to do a meditation to honor all migrants and immigrants, and especially everybody who is right now approaching the southern border in the United States, because this is really the issue that, you know, brought this to the forefront of my awareness this week. All right, so I'm just going to uncross my legs. I'll invite you to do the same. Feel free to sit in a chair. You can sit like the perfect pictures of the yogis, the legs crossed. You can lay down. You can lounge on the couch. Just don't be driving or riding your bike, since you need to have your eyes closed. Just make yourself fully, fully comfortable. And I'm just going to have us take a couple of deep breaths first. this will help me drop into my parasympathetic nervous system and just relax a little bit more. We're going to breathe in two times through our nose, like we're smelling freshly cut lemons, pause at the top, and exhale long and slow through our mouth. So it'll be like this. Pause, exhale long and slow. And we'll do this one more time, two more times. Pause. Exhale long and slow. And just one more time. And exhale long and slow through your mouth only. And now just breathe at whatever rate feels comfortable and relaxed. And first of all, I want us to just come to our heart center area where the heart chakra is located. And the heart chakra, as you all know, is green, this beautiful emerald green. And I want us to imagine that there is this golden light that is going to emanate from our heart chakra area and fill our entire bodies. Just see this golden light going up through your shoulders and head, your torso, legs, filling your entire body with this golden light. And now I want us to imagine that from our heart center area, there's this golden light that is going to go from your heart, from my heart, wherever you are in the world. And we're going to imagine that this light is going to all migrants who are headed towards the border between the United States and Mexico. There are migrants from all over the world who come, who cross deserts, rivers, who right now are making this journey. And they risk their lives. And some of them are children, babies even. May this light cover everybody, every soul that is right now making this very perilous trek for very, very good reasons. May they be safe, free from danger, and as well as they can be. We're also going to extend this light to migrants who might be coming by sea on boats. Just see from your heart this light that goes from your heart to the Caribbean Ocean, the Gulf Coast, around all of the borders of the United States. May all migrants in the process of trying to come right now be safe, free from danger, peaceful, and as well as they can be. And now we're going to send this same golden light from our hearts to all migrants who are detained at the border between the United States and Mexico, including women, children, families, all who are seeking asylum. risk so much to come and may have to go back to their home countries. May we send this golden light to all migrants who are detained right now. May they be safe and free from danger, content as possible and free and peaceful. And now we're going to send this golden light to all immigrants in the United States who are here illegally. Perhaps they are DACA. Perhaps they are here working so hard, contributing to society. They're here for so many good reasons. So many live in fear of being discovered or how people will treat them if they find out what their status is. But we're really all the same. We're all the same under God. So just see from your heart this golden light covering all of the United States. And finally, we're just going to send the same light to the United States Congress and President Biden, that they may do their jobs and with time be able to find a better solution to all of the challenges around immigration, to allow all of the DACA kids to be able to stay and have citizenship. May we find a path forward to honor the humanity of all souls, of all migrants and immigrants. And now we're just going to come back to our own hearts for a moment. And I'm just going to take another breath or two. And just thank yourself for doing this meditation. You might have some more feelings come up, which is just totally fine. Thank you for being here with me and doing this. And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes. That was really wonderful. Now, let us nourish our spirits with some incredible jazz. This is the third part of today's program, because we need to keep ourselves uplifted and bolstered in joy to continue to just to be the best versions of ourselves, and also to be able to take in the suffering of other humans. The most powerful anecdote I've learned, especially from my spiritual teacher, is to keep myself in a state of joy as much as possible. It doesn't mean that we ignore the suffering or the plight of others. We take this in and we continue to nourish ourselves so we can stay strong and support and work to change. Now it's time to listen to some jazz. Due to copyright laws, we cannot play the music on air at this time. I respect copyright laws and the incredible artists who created the jazz we listen to, as without them, we would have no jazz. I will leave links to the songs we listen to so you can pause and listen to the songs along with us. It is my dream to someday grow this podcast to the point where I can eventually host it on a major streaming platform which owns the right to play music, so we can all have the communal experience of listening together. Until then, please bear with me. So today, we are going to be celebrating the work of Paquito Rivera, who is a Cuban-American jazz musician and percussionist, and his birthday is Tuesday, June 4th. He's still alive. I believe he's turning 76. And since he himself is an immigrant, and I will talk a little bit about his story, he just seemed like the perfect musician to celebrate for today. And he's just so incredible and versatile in terms of all he can do. And so we are just going to hear some awesome jazz. So Paquito de Rivera was born the 4th of June, 1948 in Havana, Cuba. He performed at age 10 with the National Theater Orchestra, and he studied at the Havana Conservatory of Music, and at 17 became a featured soloist with the Cuban National Symphony. When he was on tour in 1980, so he came up through the conservatory system, and he formed the band Irakire, and we're going to listen to one of their pieces of music. And he also traveled with the United Nations band as well. When he was on tour in 1980, he sought asylum at the American Embassy in Spain. This was really what allowed him to defect. He came over, and also in a similar time period, the great Cuban-American trumpeter Arturo Sandoval also defected, and Paquito de Rivera's family came over later as well. And this is from his website. Paquito de Rivera's discography reflects a dedication and enthusiasm for jazz, bebop, and Latin music. He also has many classical performances, among them solo performances with the London Philharmonic, the London Symphony Orchestra, the Warsaw Philharmonic Orchestra, the National Symphony Orchestra, the Baltimore Symphony, the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Brooklyn Philharmonic. He is the recipient of the NEA Jazz Masters Award in 2005 and the National Medal of the Arts in 2005, which was given to him by President Bush, as well as the Living Jazz Legend Award from the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in 2007. He has numerous other honors, including doctorates, honorary doctorates in music from the Berklee School of Music in Boston and the University of Pennsylvania. And he has won a combined 16 Grammys and Latin Grammy Awards, 5 Grammys and 11 Latin Grammys. And he is really celebrated for both his artistry in Latin jazz and his achievements as a classical composer as well. And he plays the saxophone, alto, and tenor, the clarinet, and also a few other woodwind instruments. So he's really amazing. And when you hear his musical selection today that I chose, and it was so hard, I would love to choose like 10 songs per artist. However, since I can't play the music on the show, I have to keep it short so that I can talk about the music and then you guys can listen along. However, it is just astounding when I hear his body of work that it is the same person playing all of the different music. So let's get to our first selection. Now, this is from early on in Paquito de Rivera's career. He formed a group called Irakire, and this is Yoruba for vegetation. And I'm going to read a quote here. This is a Cuban band founded by pianist Chucho Valdez in 1973 that won the Grammy Award for Best Latin Recording in 1980 with its album Irakire. Its members included flutist Jose Luis Cortez, percussionist Anga Diaz, percussionist Fran Padilla, saxophonist Paquito de Rivera, and again, he left Irakire in Cuba in 1980 when he was on tour, and trumpetist Arturo Sandoval. And here's another quote. Irakire is perhaps the most recognized modern Cuban ensemble, and it's the first post-revolutionary band still residing then in Cuba to be released on a major U.S. record label. And this group essentially at the time was consisting of all of the bright young stars in Cuba at the time. And so we are going to hear a song called Pare Cochero from Chucho Valdez and Irakire, released in 2001. So I have this list on Spotify and we'll put the link to it. So if you're listening, pause right now and click on the link to Spotify so you can listen along with us. And then we'll come back and talk about how we feel and just what we got from the song. All right, everyone. Well, we just heard Pare Cochero by Chucho Valdez and Irakire, of which Paquito de Rivera was a member. And this was from an album released in 2001. I don't know exactly what year this song was recorded. And this song was just joyful. It was fun. I found myself just kind of wanting to get up and dance or move. Even the title, Pare Cochero, makes me kind of have vacation vibes. Like, we're, you know, you're going somewhere and you just see something you want to you know, get out and see, and you just want to get out of the car and just go see it and just take on life. Also, just like the complexities of all the rhythms and instruments coming together was just so joyful and beautiful. I found myself kind of definitely getting those island vibes. I have never been to Havana, Cuba. I would love to go. If anyone listening has been, just write a little comment and let me know what your experience was like, as much as one can encompass a whole experience of an incredible country like this in just a few sentences. And I'm trying to think what else came up. Really just the feeling of joy of being free. And you know, the feeling of freedom, I think for especially the members of Iraquire, this feeling is very deep because they really were not free in Cuba. And a lot of jazz music, especially under Fidel Castro, was seen as subversive, as, you know, potentially dangerous. And so they really, like Paquito de Rivera and all of the other members of the band, could, I think, probably appreciate the level of freedom and what freedom is much more than I could, or not having lived under any type of oppressive regime. Well, I guess the previous administration, but nothing like Fidel Castro. Different. And I'm not demonizing Fidel Castro. I'm just saying, I imagine that because of their experience and needing to leave Cuba to go to a free country, they could also, because they suffered basically, they could express joy in inverse proportionality to what they suffered in such a beautiful way, which is what comes across in this song. That's what I was trying to say. And so as you notice this song, what came up for you? I would put this song in the category of emotional galvanization and maybe even emotional social justice because of the message of freedom, I think, that is in the song as well. And Los Cubanos tiene este son increíble. Cuban musicians just have such an incredible sound. All right, well, let us move on to our second Paquito de Rivera song for today. Now, this song is from a little bit later on in his career. The song we're going to hear is called La Vetela, and this features Paquito on alto sax with his sextet. And he's also here paired with legendary Mexican composer and arranger Armando Manzanero. And he was present at the recording of this album that we are going to hear in this track, La Vetela. So it's Paquito de Rivera. And on this album, you guys, Paquito de Rivera plays alto, soprano sax, clarinet, and the tarogato. And the tarogato, I had to look up, is a woodwind instrument commonly used in Hungarian folk music. And he's also paired with Diego Urcola on the trumpet, Alex Brown on piano, Carlos Enriquez on the double bass, Antonio Sanchez on drums, Ariel Lude on the bandoneon, and Armando Manzanero is doing vocals. And this album, I believe, is a 2016 collaboration between Paquito and Armando Manzanero. And the album, by the way, is called Paquito de Rivera Plays the Music of Armando Manzanero. Here we go. So we just heard Llévatela by Paquito de Rivera and Armando Manzanero in Paquito de Rivera's sextet. And this song was lovely. And again, just showcasing the incredible variety of the talents of Paquito de Rivera. I believe in this song, we heard him on the alto sax. That's what it sounds like. And this song is about kind of letting go. It's not exactly remorse. No está remordimiento. It's like more kind of like a longing or a nostalgia from the past, but also there's a lightness, like Armando Manzanero is sort of saying, like, just take it away, take this from me. And there's kind of a spirit. I feel like the energy of this song is maybe thinking about some things that are sad or that we have lost, and also then just kind of like releasing them. That's sort of the spirit. It's not 100% melancholy or sad. It's sort of more reflective. And then there's kind of this feeling of like release. And both Paquito de Rivera and Armando Manzanero are now in the latter part of their career, just in terms of their age. And they have so much embodied wisdom and life experience. So the way that they are performing this song, it's almost like they're teaching us like how to let go and just release things. At least this is what comes up for me as I hear this song. And I'm thinking about, is there anything I'm holding on to that I need to release, or sort of like just say, kind of take it away? And not necessarily to a certain person, but it could be to the universe, to God. Just help me let go. Help me just carry whatever it is I need to release. So I'm just going to sit with that and ask myself that for a moment. I would definitely put this song in the category of emotional reverie. I think there is, and I'll probably do a podcast on this, something about, because I feel like the universe is bringing me this lesson this week, is to let go of having expectations for others in terms of like me needing them to be a certain way so that I can feel okay. And so I think there's something about hearing this song that is a gentle, beautiful reminder. This jazz sextet and these two incredible gentlemen just exhorting me gently to release and relinquish expectations of needing any one person, especially my nearest and dearest, to be a certain way so that I can feel okay. And this is a hard lesson to learn for me. So let me know what thoughts and feelings and associations come up as you hear this music. That's why jazz is so therapeutic and healing. It's soothing for us. We're taking in art and we generate just self-reflection, and we're nurtured. Our souls are nurtured, at least mine. My soul is very nurtured by hearing jazz and the song we just heard. Okay, so let us go to our final Paquito de Rivera song today. And this song is called Vino Tinto, Red Wine. And this is from an album that was released this year by Paquito de Rivera and the group Hermanos Zaballos. And the album is called Zamba Negra. And I looked this term up, Zamba Negra. It means a South American-inspired musical landscape. I knew what Negra was, but the Zamba Negra together, I wasn't sure. And so, you guys, I honestly just chose this song because I love the irreverent title, and I love red wine. I'm just going to say that. I really love red wine, and I love all kinds of red wine. I love Zinfandels. I love French Bordeaux. I love a beautiful refined Burgundy or a Pinot Noir. I love Chateau Neuf de Pape. I love kind of big, smoky, heavier wines like Syrahs, Petite Syrahs, a Malbec. I really love all red wine. However, as I get older, I find that if I drink wine, oftentimes I will get sleepy and then I will have a difficult night sleeping, especially if it's in the evening. And then I will wake up in the morning and feel a little bit more down. Not exactly fully depressed, but I can feel there's kind of just like a heavier energy sort of pulling my mood down. And I can kind of get myself back up with intense exercise. I'm a big exerciser, worker outer. And yet that cycle is kind of draining to sort of put myself through that. So as much as I love red wine and how it makes me feel and just how delicious and complex it is, I feel like I have to be careful and judicious as to how I drink it. And yet it is something beautiful to be enjoyed, I think, in moderation. So that's just kind of why I chose the title. And this album is very unique, and really listen as you hear the song. Like there really is something so textured about this album. So let's hear this song, Vino Tinto. And just notice what thoughts, feelings, and emotions come up. And also, just because we're going to have fun with this, if this song, Vino Tinto, was actually a varietal of red wine, what varietal would it be? Just think about that. All right. Well, we just heard Vino Tinto from Paquito de Rivera and Hermanos Zavallosos album, Zavallos album, this 2024 release, Zamba Negra, which means a South American inspired musical landscape. And that this album is so unique. I don't think I've ever heard sounds like this before, ever put together. And Paquito de Rivera sounds like he is on the clarinet here in this song. So for me, this, I had like fantasies of being at a beautiful, like outdoor barbecue or grill, maybe somewhere in South America, perhaps Argentina. And a big shout out to Argentina and my editor, Patricio. He is from Argentina and I'm so blessed to have him. It was a total synchronicity how I found him. And he's just amazing. And so anyway, I just like had this image of a barbecue where there's music on, people are drinking like Malbec or some kind of even like a Bordeaux blend, but all the varietals are from South America. Like, what would be in there? Like Malbec, Tempranillo, maybe Cabernet, Merlot, but kind of a smokier, earthier wine, and kids are running around and grownups are talking and there's like mountains in the background. This is just kind of like the spirit of what came up hearing this music. It was so joyful and unique and just capturing the beauty and a buoyance of what it is to be alive and to be with others. I would put this song in the category of emotional elevation, emotional galvanization, since it makes me want to get up, maybe drink some red wine, but not right now. It's the middle of the day as I'm recording this. And just let myself be free and dance with the breeze in my hair. So what came up as you guys listened to this piece? And what kind of red wine do you think this song would be? Leave me a comment and let me know. Just to be whimsical and have fun. Well, I just want to thank everybody for being with me here today for today's episode, celebrating the beauty of immigrants, looking at how we as a culture and individually other people and the concept of othering, and then also celebrating Paquito de Rivera. And also just join me for a moment in wishing a very heartfelt happy birthday to Paquito de Rivera. Señor Rivera, I wish you a very feliz cumpleaños and may your year be filled with peace and joy and your life with longevity. I hope I get to meet you or hear you play someday. So I send blessings to you. And I hope that this episode was nourishing for you guys. That's my goal with the show. It definitely was for me. It's just I hold the concept of being more aware of how I other people, expanding my heart to hold all of my deep love for immigrants, and then just the beauty of jazz to tie this all together. And before we go, I'm just going to read a few final quotes. I'm often asked the same question, what in your work comes from your own culture? As if I have a recipe and I can actually isolate the Arab ingredient, the woman ingredient, the Palestinian ingredient. People often expect tidy definitions of otherness as if identity is something fixed and easily definable. Mona Hatoum. In a world such as ours, where we have to cross the great divide of otherness or we will not survive, love is perhaps the most critical aspect that there is in our humanity to both activate and to practice. Jean Houston. And finally, in the spirit which draws us into honest engagement with one another, including those who may be very different from us in various ways, God calls us to wake up and learn how to love and respect one another, period. Carter Hayward. Beautiful and so true. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Jazz Therapy will be off next week and we will return on Thursday, June 20th for our final episode of season one. It's also the summer solstice. So I wish you a good 2 weeks and I will see you soon.
Thank you for listening, reflecting, and being present with us today. Please leave us a review and comment, as we love feedback and aim to continuously improve and innovate, embodying the spirit of jazz itself. Jazz Therapy is edited and produced by Patricio Garcia. Sage Salmon is our social media coordinator. To connect with us, find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our email is info@jazztherapy.com. Check back next week for our next episode. May Jazz Therapy soothe your soul.